Welcome to Intrepid Scoundrels, an actual play podcast of the Scum and Villainy RPG. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM.
I'm John, and I'm playing Ezequiel De La Cruz, a rough-and-tumble scoundrel.
I'm Mark, playing Duncan Brell, your ship's mechanic.
I'm Scott. I'm playing Brylan Chencott, also called Bry or BC at Grizzled Stitch.
I'm John R. I'm playing Wyndham Whoosh Woo, the ace pilot of the Intrepid.
I'm Tim, and I'm playing Rail Card, the human mystic with a dark and mysterious past.
I'm Ron, and I'm playing Jenksus Biogeny, a down-on-his-luck mayor and the group's muscle.
And now, on to the episode. And welcome to the episode. When last we left our intrepid scoundrels, they had spent some downtime on Surya Station, relaxing, drinking, buying fancy shells, and relieving all that good stress. But unfortunately, before they could head off to the lost Imperial cache, they were confronted by some old mates of Zeke's, members of the Citadel Gang, a sort of crime syndicate that Zeke's not on the up and up with, he's on the outs with. And so a Rodian by the name of Nox Threska said, you'll be getting in good with the Citadel again if you just do this one simple job for us. Just transport these 8 crates to an asteroid base out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's space. Most of it's at the middle of nowhere. But it was an offer that you could not refuse because the crates had already been loaded onto the Intrepid before you were even asked to do this. And so you decided, well, look, we're just going to go. We'll cover up the crates. We've got fake papers. This is fine. I'm sure we're not smuggling anything terrible or illegal. But unfortunately, as you came out...
I'm not sure of that, but...
Look, maybe, who knows. But as you came out of hyperspace near this asteroid base, you were smack dab in the middle of a thick asteroid field, stones pinging off the hull left and right, alarms going off, the ship shaking. We're in a desperate situation. What do you want to do?
Get the shields up.
Throwing shields up. That sort of things. So I think, you know what, I'm just gonna say, John, Wyndham, I think it's time for you to give us some helming.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Go do that voodoo.
Don't screw this
you
up.
Do so well.
No pressure.
So this be a risky standard or
this is desperate.
Desperate.
I mean, you can get an XP for this.
You'll get an XP for it, but
we
also
we can all die.
Yes, the all right,
fours.
Okay, fours. Two fours means
doubles
means
are good. Basically.
Only double sixes. I keep telling you.
Not
that
double
means
ones.
You begin to weave the ship to a clearer spot. You're trying to find your way through this sort of asteroid field, this thick asteroid field, and you're. What we'll do is we'll call this a clock. We're going to get you that you need to fill up called Get Out of the Asteroid Field. And with a 4, it's going to be a 6 count clock, but with a 4, that's only going to be 2.
All right. I'm going to hop in the 4 turret there and see if I can blast any of that in front of us.
All right. That sounds like a great idea.
Clear path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'll look for asteroid with a big hole we can hide in.
No, no, those
totally
are full
safe,
of,
I'm sure.
Big monsters.
Yeah.
All right. Is that my new scrap ability?
I would say that's a scrap. Firing the weapons is scrap.
I'm gonna try this. I've never been really good at this.
Just point and shoot.
Point
that's
and shoot.
The intercom.
All right. I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna go. Look at that! Wow, first time!
Right.
Yeah.
Success.
Good job.
Big
six.
And a big... No, wait, not... No, because it was a regular.
You're a natural.
Yep, so you get that. Make sure to take that XP. And,
Do we get a gambit?
No, because you only get a gambit when you're rolling on risky.
Oh, not desperate.
Not desperate. You get an XP, so it's a little different.
Got it. Okay.
So again, the users are flying. Wyndham spots maybe sort of a gap in the asteroids to sort of head towards less populated ground. But then this one asteroid comes hoving into view, and Zeke lays on the blasters and blasted away just enough for you to zoom through, and you head out a bit into sort of slightly more open space. Awesome. There's still asteroids around, but that's just sort of a nice lazy, slow helm to go around them.
Oh, well, how lost did that little maneuver get us?
Well, you check the coordinates. You're close by, but you're going to have to fly a little bit through the asteroids to get to where you're going to need to go. You're in this sort of thick asteroid field, basically. Mm-hmm. And the coordinates are kind of near the center of it all.
How close do we need to be before we push the button?
You basically sort of get a little bit, fly for like half an hour or so to get a little bit closer, maybe an hour. You want to sort of open up the communications basically by
pushing the button.
After the half hour or an hour. And I want to make sure I'm keeping an eye on how we're going to get out of here too. Last thing we want to do is have to go through that again.
Right. So true. Being space, there might be, and there's probably, as you're sort of taking a look around, there's probably like a less densely populated side of the field that you could exit from, right? You don't have to necessarily come back the way you came. And then could have thrown in diaper space. You press the button. Your comms sort of come to life, but it's all kind of sounds crackly and full of interference. And it's basically like, come in, ship, widget, asteroid, base, 1-1.
Just a simple job.
Is there some way to improve that? Improve the reception or something?
Yeah. Try getting closer.
I could maybe try to work on it.
There's only some way to rig that, maybe.
Yeah,
I'm all for that.
Rig the comm system somehow.
And was this a risky standard?
We'll call this risky standard, yeah.
Okay.
All he's doing is turning the antenna a little bit.
I know, just crank the gain.
5.
All right. You do it. So you go and you crank the gain a little bit, crank the thing to get a little more band. Mm-hmm. And it comes in a little clearer at this point. And you get basically whoever sort of out there sort of brought, maybe even sort of broadcasting a little broadband, a little wider band than you were sort of expecting from this sort of secret asteroid base. Mm-hmm. Can't sense going, what? No, you want to get out of here. There's some kind of, I don't know, imperial forces or something. And you spot a pair of, unusually, so for where you are, a pair of TIE fighters kind of hoving into view as if sort of maybe picked up, also picking up on this transmission and have spotted you. And they become kind of screaming towards you with that classic TIE fighter sound.
Yeah.
Lasers firing. Pew, 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 pew. Not, they haven't even tried to like say, stand down. We're going to board you. They're just shooting at you.
Shoot first. Okay.
Well, then we got to shoot back. Evasive maneuvers.
Yes, I will start evasive maneuvers.
Okay, great. Risky, obviously. Risky standard.
Mm-hmm.
Standard. 5 minutes.
You guys are going real good. Real good.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
You get away from most of the blasts, but I think this time we're going to call this a little bit of harm. Basically, two harm on the ship itself. We'll say, John, since you're the pilot here, you get to say where that damage goes. Is it going to go to the engines? Is it going to go to the hull, the weapons, the comm systems, et cetera, et cetera? You can pick where that damage is going to go. Even like 1 point. To one and 1 point to another.
Yeah, let's go 1 to the hull and 1 to the comm system.
Okay. Since you have a sort of, and I'll tell you this and you can change your mind if you want, but since you don't have any sort of quality comms, that's going to blow your comms out completely at this point.
Ah.
Yeah, so that was kind of my assumption.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Essentially, your engines have some quality. Your hull has quality, and you have one sort of weapon quality to sort of those kind of count as hit points for your ship, essentially. There's a sparking explosion up at the cockpit as the comms go out completely, and that voice sort of warning you is just vanishes. But there's still two TIE fighters zooming around you, still blasting away.
Can I try to shoot back?
Sure.
How does that work? Is that scrapping?
That's going to be scrapping, yeah. Firing guns and punching is all sort of the same skill.
Alrighty. Well, let me take some shots and do some scrapping, trying to blow one and or both of them up.
All right. Okay. Whiskey Great. Standard.
This is standard? Risky standard?
Risky standard, you know.
All righty.
You know, TIE fighters.
Watch this, everybody. 4-5. Pew, pew.
All righty. Let's say what happens here is that you shoot one of them down. And it goes spinning off as it does, right?
And it hits an asteroid.
But the other one, hits an asteroid, explodes. But the other one gets right behind the Intrepid, and is kind of, you can hear it getting a lock on you, putting you in currently a desperate situation.
Ooh. Oh, with his low quality graphic targeting computer.
Yeah. 8, what is that? Something like 4-bit computer.
Ray tracing.
Vector graphics.
Yeah, hurriedly twisting knobs.
Yep.
Stop playing Tron on that.
Well, Wyndham, you got any tricks to get us out of this one?
Yeah, I bet I can outfly him.
I bet you better take easily. A gambit, though, just in case.
I mean, feel good. Yeah, remember, you guys have been rolling pretty well, so you haven't necessarily needed those extra dice, but you can roll a helm if you want to push yourself. Someone else can take a stress to give you a die. You can spend a gambit to get a die. If you don't want to push yourself, I can offer you a devil's bargain.
We already don't have comms, so I'll push myself.
All right, fair enough. That's two stress for you.
All right. That gives me get one an extra die.
Yep, and a gambit if you want to take a gambit. Nope, two ladies already rolled.
Six.
But you didn't. That's good because you actually gained a gambit instead of spending. You didn't spend one, so you actually gained one.
Yes.
With a six. That was. Oh, wait, sorry. No, this was supposed to be desperate. So you actually don't get that gambit, but you do get an XP in whatever the helm attribute
Prowess.
Is. Prowess. Yeah. But nice. It's still a success. It's still a full success. So you. How do you. Are you just shaking them? Do you want to. What do you want to do?
Yeah, I'm basically. My superior piloting skills are what gets us away. So I'm like looping and twisting around and spinning, and no matter what they could do, they just can't hit the ship.
Yeah, they're just firing, blam, 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 maybe you duck behind some other asteroids, and they're still on your tail, but they're just barely avoiding the other asteroids, but they haven't actually landed a shot on you.
Yeah, they're having a really hard time. Speaking
yeah,
time for us.
Yeah, and they haven't locked on you well, so you're out of that desperate situation. You're now just sort of in the general risky territory of one TIE fighter. And you basically, you know, TIE fighter's small, very agile. You guys are in a freighter, a light freighter, but still, you know, thanks to Wyndham's expert stick work, it's almost as if it were weightless out here. I mean, it is in space, but it's almost as if it were, you know, a much smaller craft.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we ought to shoot him again.
Anyone
There's still the two of them back there, right?
No, the we got one. You got
There's
one.
Only one. There's
That's
only
what
one.
I thought. We got rid of one.
One. Yeah, this is the one left.
I can shoot again. Somebody else can shoot
you
again.
You can do it if you want.
I'll take care of it. Watch this, everybody. Pew, pew.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what happens if I do take a gambit? Well, we only have three. You know, I don't even need it. Watch this.
Risky standard. Here he goes.
Five.
Alrighty. That's five. Right.
Yes.
That's a partial success.
It's a partial success. So what's going to happen is you get a beat on them with the lasers of the Intrepid, blast away. But before, like, as it spins out of control, it ricochets off an asteroid and pings up, you know, sort of pings the hull of the Intrepid here. So we're going to say that's another harm that the ship takes.
This ship's getting kind of battered.
It's getting kind of being dinged up. Where do you want that one to go?
I know what I'm doing on my next downtime.
That one will go to engines.
All right.
Oh, no.
Hitting the back of the engines, kind of sparks and smoke kind of flying out, flying off. But there don't appear to be any more Imperial ships here. No more TIE fighters, nothing else. You're not actually 100% sure where the base is because you don't see it anywhere, right? What do you want to do here? Do you want to try to get in contact with them now that the comms are busted up?
Well, we have this button, and it sends an encrypted signal.
Right.
Well, it brings up an interesting point, though. Are these just the TIE fighters here, or is there more Imperials in the area, like in the base?
Well, TIE fighters don't have hyperspace. Yes. They've got to be close to something.
So, yeah, there's got to be a ship around here or some sort of base.
Or base. That's no asteroid field. Wait, it is actually an asteroid field.
It is.
I was wrong.
No, we've had close-up observation of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can fixing the comms, does that have to be a downtime thing, or can I do it?
You can basically do a little bit of how Bri does, sort of like temporarily patch it up.
Okay. I would like to do that.
All right.
So now that we kind of know where we're at in this rough field, maybe a little research might tell us where the larger asteroids are in this field that would most likely be able to house a base.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That'd be some study work. Anybody good at studying that kind of stuff?
I'm actually not bad at studying.
I have.
Comes from a lot of election reports. I had to look them over.
I'm terrible.
We got a doctor here. So yeah. You got two smarties.
Even way better at studying, probably.
A bit. More than likely.
Is this a risky standard rig roll?
It wasn't college. Oh.
Yeah, why don't you give me that, and then we'll see what the...
Oh, no.
He got rig roll.
Double ones. Which is really no different than just one.
No different than one.
It's
here's
one.
The deal.
Yeah.
The comms are completely shot. The whatever the laser blast blew them up. They're melted. There's no way you're going to be able to repair comms without a dry dock.
That many, spare parts and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, and more spare parts. Yeah.
We got to get a better radio.
even worse is one song that just keeps replaying over and over again.
Scott, do you want to give me a study roll to maybe now that the comms are definitely not working, maybe there's some visual way that you can
work
figure
out
where you want to go.
I've got two pips in that, which is two.
Mm-hmm.
I can either try to push or
maybe use a gambit.
Or gambit.
Well, Ron, do you want to spend a stress to help him out since you're also kind of a little bit about studying?
I would like
things?
To do that. Yeah. If that just right. If all it takes is me spending a stress, I got
all
remember
does.
I overindulged. I got plenty of stress.
So why don't you take a stress? You get an extra die for this, Scott.
I'll do that too. Because
the only one person can do that.
Never mind then.
Okay. So got an extra one there.
Ooh, well, there you go.
Well, that is critical.
Two sixes.
You're welcome. And thank you.
And,
And a gambit.
And a gambit. It's critical and a gambit. So the rich is
two gambits.
No, just one.
I'm a doctor, not a...
basically sort of maybe like peer out there, pull up a map that is basically, a scanning map that shows it a little bit around. And you can see that there's one asteroid pretty nearby, kind of like, turning a little bit, oddly, gravity wise from the other, asteroids. And as you sort of again maybe go and kind of look at that transponder again and click it, you can kind of see a little bit of like a faint shimmer of a cloaking field like the one you have for this ship over part of it.
Perhaps even his studies with the way has yes. also influenced
you can
it a bit.
Sense some life forms out there on that asteroid.
I think it's that one over there.
All right.
Yeah. Do you want to head in that direction?
Yeah, we'll start moving the ship closer to take a look.
You get close enough to sort of like essentially pierce the sort of a cloaking bubble that they have. And as you do, you can see that there is a small, you know, base, maybe like the size of an office building, sort of constructed in around the rock of the asteroid. And this is base THX-113. Mm. And there's a place for you to sort of land and dock if you want to. You can see that there's a projector of this invisibility field and a couple sort of antenna. But otherwise, it looks like maybe a mining base or a science outpost of some kind.
Yeah, but it's pretty well concealed for an ordinary mining base or science outpost. It's pretty suspicious, I think. It
sure does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go take a look.
Oh, absolutely.
We've got boxes to deliver.
Did we push the button yet?
We did. That's how we got
that's contacted how they communicate. By them. Okay. And then they kind of buzzed out, and we're still trying to find them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So I will make for the landing pad.
Okay.
Keep your guard up, everyone.
Is there anybody else on the landing pad? Does it look like anybody else is docked here?
No, you don't see any other ships docked here. And
looks
it
like it's got
kind
a hangar bay, though. So
yeah, a little bit of a hangar bay that once you get a little closer, you can you get like you know, someone kind of with the thing kind of like waving you kind of in with the airplane, you know, the airport batons.
Oh, they're using lightsabers instead.
Hey, we're all Jedi's here. I think the in Star Wars that you can kind of like fly through these force fields. It's like a permeable force field that sort of open up, and you kind of like come in and land. There's a couple of people sort of moving around. They all are wearing these dull gray jumpsuits. There's not like a ton of people in here though. It's not like a full, like you would see in like a military base that there would be like lots of, there's no other ships here, for instance. They are all sort of, there's like two or three people essentially maybe like repairing something, and whatnot, besides the person who waved you in.
Right. I'm going to look around for somebody who's carrying a clipboard.
Okay. Oh, so you're coming. You're heading out of the Intrepid, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
The fellow was like with the batons, says, "Whoo, we were cutting it close there in there out there, huh?"
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I don't know how the Empire would have found us out here, but. I think they were sending out some sort of scrambler signal. That's why we couldn't warn you off sooner. But y'all are probably going to want to talk to Dr. Drillo.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
She should be coming up here in any second now. And there's sort of an elevator that comes out of sort of clear the center of the more deeper into the asteroid. And it's this woman with sort of close cut sort of blonde hair. And she's got a kind of a classic lab coat on, set of spectacles, human woman, I should say. She's got some form of electronic space clipboard.
I'll go right up with my hand out and like, pleased to meet you, ma'am.
Dr. Drillo, pleased to meet you.
Doctor.
Jinxus Biogeny is my name. We're here on the Intrepid. We've got an important delivery for you, I got to tell you, you're pretty well sequestered out here. What do you got going on?
Oh, it's top secret.
That's what I figured. That's what hence my question.
Well, you've got a delivery for us. I think we are expecting some specimens. Yes. Then we'll have my men sort of fetch them off your ship, if that's all right. And
sure, they're underneath the tarp in there.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yes, and perhaps the five of you would care for a bit of a respite, some coffee.
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. Oh, I'm famished and could use a little something. Yes.
All right, I appreciate this. Why don't you come follow me into the base? She's into the outpost. And she leads you into the elevator, goes down a couple floors, and comes out onto like kind of stark white hallways. It is clean in here, indeed. It does look like it's some sort of science facility from the number of lab-coated people kind of wandering around, and the sort of occasional signs that actually probably say, like, you know, lab one and other sciencey terms.
BC would be taking a very close look at, you know, just studying anything he's going by, just to make sure see if he can catch anything that gives him any kind of clue, being in the medical profession.
It looks, the people you don't get a feeling that this is a medical facility. You get some almost like scientific and engineering kind of facility going on, maybe not even like, nothing sort of remotely biological in terms of the science to show, like energy production and, you know, wave flux variance lab and stuff like that.
Closer to my area, all of it.
Yeah, fair enough. she leads you around the corner to like a small commissary where there are a couple people maybe eating, and she goes and she says, yeah, please help yourself, coffee and whatnot. And I'll sort of let you know what's going here, because I suspect I could possibly use your help. An extension of the job that you've already been doing, for additional pay, of course.
Well, you hand me an additional pay. What is it you need?
She goes and you know, maybe gets you all some coffees and some light pastries. To sit around, and she says, well, I don't know if clearly you weren't told exactly anything as to what you were delivering and why you were delivering it here, but we here at Outpost THX-113 are in the fields of energy fluctuations, and more importantly, related weaponry. With the Empire, even now, even though they're on the decline, they're always on the lookout for ways that they might claw their way back into power. And, well, we're a rebel-funded facility, a rebellion-funded facility, and that's why the secrecy. You see, we want to keep these items out of the Empire's hands, fading as though it is. We've been out here for several a year or so now, living and working here on this base in secret.
All right, secret rebel base, you say?
Well, yeah, it's not quite. We're more periphery to the rebellion than anything. Just helping them out where we can, to supplying them with weapons and other technologies. Although we have yet to have any solid breakthrough in until recently.
I think it's interesting that you're dealing with the Citadel to get some of these things. Why is that?
Well, you know, there are certain items that we could use that are a little more difficult to get through the more legitimate means. Even the rebellion doesn't necessarily have the deepest coffers, and can want to get things where we can.
All right. Well, my contract was to deliver things unopened. Please let Knox and his kin know that.
Of course. No. We'll be paying for this, but there is a sort of an opportunity to make a little bit more cred here. If you're so willing.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
As I said, we hadn't had much success until fairly recently. The items that you have delivered will, of course, continue to be used in our research, but we need to get a prototype off the base, and you've come at an opportune time, especially now with the Empire sniffing around. It would need to be someone who could be discreet and return this particular item to Surya Station. Not to the Citadel, though, if that's what you're worried about. It would be to a rebel contact that we have there.
Okay.
Although, if the Citadel is at Surya Station, they might want to try to get hands on it themselves. You see, this particular item is an energy draining weapon, which would be quite useful against vehicles and maybe even if scaled up correctly, starships.
Is it? It's off though, right? Because our ship took a heck of a beating coming into here, and the last thing we need is something to power it even further down.
No. It is a prototype. It is not an energy source. It would need to be hooked up to an energy source to work. But that's where our rebel contact could be able to provide that for their needs. They just wanted to maybe test it against them.
Right. Well, we're kind of on a mission now of our own, so this could take us out of the way of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything I could say to persuade you to perhaps change your mind? Tell you what I'll do. Let me show you what we've been working on, and maybe this will give you a bit of a more interest in what we've been doing here. Please sign all these NDAs first, of course.
They're not enforceable.
It's a non-compete clause. Non-compete clause.
I'm a criminal. I might just break the NDA.
She doesn't know. And she actually says, "So you follow me." It takes you down sort of like another flight of stairs to a lower level where it looks like those crates are being unloaded.
Don't look.
And I didn't open them. For us.
Somebody else.
Okay, we can see that all the lights are flashing green. There is a they take them into a secure an airlock kind of chamber, and you're sort of watching from the outside, a glass window kind of thing, right? You watch one of these scientists who's in like kind of like a hazmat gear pop open one of these crates and fiddle with some controls, and has got maybe like essentially like big tongs. And he pulls out from the crate something that all Star Wars fans know what it looked like, but maybe not your characters might not know what they are. This large bat-like creature. I want to show this to you. Let me show it to you. Oh no, I'm always doing this the wrong way. There it is. With a kind of lamprey mouth and a long tail.
Yes.
Lifting it up. It seems to be sort of stunned or in stasis or maybe a bit
like a Minox? Minox.
Yes. Yes. And she turns, as is lifting up, she's like, "Are you familiar with Minox?" That's a good thing that you did not open these while you were, while these crates are on the board, because they are, they are energy draining creatures. They're hungry for the energies of starships and larger vehicles and that sort of thing. They can latch on to a ship's exterior and really, really mess up the electronics.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we've been studying their particular biology and have been able to sort of replicate it on a more technical engineering level. And that is the, and she shows a, maybe that moves you to another room, and there's someone with a kind of like, these, grenades almost, She goes to a speaker. She's like, you can test that out. And she get this guy chucks it, and it's kind of got like almost like a lamprey mouth on one end of it. And she's like, well, these are what we're calling Magnock grenades. And he throws it up against a thing, and it kind of sticks like with a magnet, and it kind of gives off this charge shows. And there's, you can see readings basically. This particular thing, sort of basically large generator that they threw it up against, just completely powers down. They're sort of like electromagnetic pulses, but far more contained, and are able to actually once it drains the energy of what it has gone up against, stores it within. You have a question there, sir?
Oh, I was, so you can plug your phone into that then after you've thrown on a generator.
What's a phone?
A comm unit, you know.
A comm unit, yes.
Something, yeah. Small devices?
It could power small devices, larger than a comm unit, of course. Indeed. You watch the guy sort of wrench it off with a bit of a pull, and he goes and places it. It's another generator that's clearly powered down, and he puts it on it, kind of like, you know, see the electricity kind of surging up out of it and all across it, and it kind of powers up.
Shoot, you would not want to get one of those near a droid, then that'd be trouble.
That's something. So one of the problems that we're working with, we don't want to harm our droid friends, of course.
We ran into some nasty droids that would have been handy against, though, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, some of the battle droids. You know, so it has, you know, this sort of technology does have a myriad of uses in the theater of war. There's suddenly screaming. From the nearby room. Mm-hmm. Dr. Drill is sort of just rushing back, and there's maybe like an alarm kind of begins going off, and you sort of go back to that sort of first room where there was unloading the crates, and one of the Minocs has gotten loose. And has kind of shaken off its stasis, or maybe the stasis wasn't quite complete, or whatever. It was more like shouting than screaming, I guess. Because this thing isn't necessarily attacking a person, but it has sort of like it's flapping around. Maybe the guy's getting battered by the wings and swept with the tail, and the Minock is kind of again just whaps him aside and flies up and kind of latches onto one of the walls. It just looks like it's snuffling around all of the outside here for some energy that it can, some energy source that it can kind of drain, and it's moving around the walls. Yes, Ken.
I would like to wrestle it.
You want to burst into that room and
oh yeah, just burst into the room and try to grab the thing and wrestle it to the ground.
Before Dr. Drillo can stop you, Jenksis kind of kicks through the. It's not quite a full airlock, but it's definitely like a decontamination sort of air. But it's open enough to throw it open and get in there and give me a scrap. We'll call this risky standard.
All right. How about I give you a little bit of a help on.
I would love some help on this
medically. How one of these things should be handled, or what to go for and watch out for.
Go for the eyes, Boo. Go for the eyes.
So keep the mouth off your face.
Spend a stress.
Yep, and you get an extra die.
All right. Wrong. I will take another die. What's the pushing?
You can also push yourself. We'll give you another die. You can spend a gambit to give yourself a die.
Let me spend a gambit because we've got plenty. We got four.
All right.
We do have four.
So I'm going to spend one and watch this.
Risky standard.
This is my wrestling. My Minock wrestling.
That's a six right there.
There's a six.
There is a six. So you kind of have to leap up a little bit and you grab it and you just get it in like a weird head. You just pin its wings down at its side.
Exactly
so it
like I told
flap
them.
Around too much. Exactly like Bri told you. And sort of beginning around, it's
You just rub this part of it and it'll just
become so peaceful.
I keep its sucker face well away from my body. That's
sure. Yeah, yeah, indeed. But you get wrapped around it, and you kind of like pin it down essentially to the ground. Whereas a couple, you know, some more people, you can see a couple more scientists are running in, and they're sort of a larger version of, you know, the sort of like hoops they use to grab snakes. With, right, sort of like looping it around and tying it in, and one of them also then comes in also with a big syringe and injects it, so it clearly some sort of sedative
on the Minoc, right? Not
on the Minoc. No, on Jenkins. Get him, he's insane.
I'm feeling faint.
But it stops squirming for a minute, and the scientist who was in there originally is like, oh wow, appreciate it. And he goes to shake your hand. No need for you to have run in like that, but I appreciate you helping me out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, somebody had to do it. This is also showing that we're the right people for the job and rush heedless into danger to get the job done. Now, about this transport you wanted us to do, that's not one of these living creatures, right?
Oh, Dr. Rilla says, no. What we're looking for is to transport a few prototypes of these
the
Magnok grenades, yes.
Grenades, okay.
It's a small crate, sort of six of them.
Right.
But they're, you know, they're big orb sized, I guess. A little bigger than normal grenades.
Well, so there's plenty of room for a small crate of grenades.
How far out of the way is Sirius Station compared to where we're going?
It's where you just came from. Whether or not, you know, we could say like space being what it is, whether or not you've gone, this is out of your way, or you'd have to kind of come back to sort of like take the hyperspace lanes to get closer to the planet the cache is on.
We probably got to go back. Yeah. So, okay.
But also
a short trip.
It's pretty cool. It's an okay place to get the ship repaired too.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably the closest place to get the ship repaired. So it would be on the way back.
We do need the comms fixed.
Yeah, we need.
Well, is there any? They don't happen to have some extra comm for a ship around?
That's like big parts. Do they?
I mean, yeah.
Maybe one that's slightly better quality than what we have. Yeah.
Something for communications when we get to where we're going.
They can give you sort of a makeshift, you know,
like a rig. Walkie-talkie, basically. A CB radio. We get a CB.
Really long antenna.
Really long string and two tin cans on the end of it.
This is new technology you're working on. But something that you'd use
the planet.
You can sort of radio into the space station when you get closer so that you can dock and not crash into a bunch of other ships, you know, so you can basically call flight control . They can give you one of those for sure.
Okay.
A little radio.
All right.
Well, yeah, gentlemen,
maybe Duncan
again,
can fix it up better.
Certainly. Appreciate your help there. Mm-hmm. But again, if you would be interested in this, it would be pay on top of the payment that I already owe you, of course.
I'm fine with
it.
It's a known thing rather than an unknown thing. And I think it's helping out somebody that...
Look, I spend a lot of time, but not enough jobs. Having too many jobs is a great place to be. I think we add this one onto the list.
It's on the way.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. It's on the way to get our ship fixed.
Yes. The issue being, of course, that we have, you know, you encountered those TIE fighters here, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with Imperial ships of that size, but they don't have hyperspace, and so we've picked up a little bit of radio chatter of that there is a larger Imperial ship in the area. It hasn't spotted us yet, luckily, but it has been sending in smaller ships to sort of try to sure. Suss us out, to ferret us out. Apparently, they've got some indication that we're here, which is why the getting these prototypes to the rebellion is of utmost importance to us. Just in case they do find us, we will be forced, destruct our base. And erase all the data that we have. But if some of it gets out to some rebellion engineers, we'll be able to replicate it, I think.
So, do you have schematics to that we should bring with us?
Yes.
Yeah, let's say they're tucked. Yeah, let's say there's a small chip that's tucked in with the prototypes.
So anyone you wish to evacuate?
Oh no, I fear that. I mean, I'm certain that they won't be able to find us. We held here. Well, you had the beacon.
Mm-hmm. Ish.
Why only you ish?
Send it to the right area. Well, of space.
We did, in fact, have the beacon.
The TIE fighters that they're able to send in here don't have the most sophisticated scanners.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. It's a bit of a run then, but yeah, we should be able to do it.
Once we get our comms there rigged, I think we should probably employ our own cloaking device as we exit.
I think so.
Oh, you have even better.
Yeah, standard transport issue.
I've been at this base too long, it seems. That's not what I would normally think the normal transport would have. But, no. If you were working jobs for the Citadel, I understand why you might have something like that.
And where do these need to go?
She gives you basically a place to, like, a dead drop on Surya Station.
All right.
Well, that's sort of, that doesn't put us on the station for any longer than it takes to get things fixed to me on our way again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially, yeah. She's going to send out a message to her contact that, you'll be there in a few days to go pick it up. So they're expecting it.
All right, and our payment will come.
We're going to say that she pays you now to do all this ahead of time, but in game you won't get the creds until you've delivered it.
Okay,
so like time creds.
They're timed. Yeah, they don't. Yeah, once you drop it off, they'll.
That offshore account
exactly
doesn't fill itself. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. All right. Yeah, let's do it.
They're okay.
Chrono creds. It's so, like crypto creds, but only time based.
Yeah, let's make sure we do a scan out there so we can maybe head out away from any activity.
Sounds good.
And I will say that maybe Duncan, mm-hmm. you got the schematics and you got the device here. Maybe that's something you can work on making a copy of this stuff.
A bit of study.
I think that kind of thing is another long-term project, but I won't say that you can't do it during your next downtime.
Okay.
It's not something you can do during the job, but when your next downtime, if you want to say, oh, I wanted to maybe, I made a copy of them, I want to study them and see if I can't replicate these results. Yeah, for sure.
So, but we can copy them. That's what I want to make sure.
Essentially, okay. Yeah, we will say that you have a copy of them. You can,
right. Sounds
you can
good.
Sort of download it onto the ship's computer.
And mm-hmm. we can take detailed pictures and measurements of the devices while we have them. Yeah. Okay.
Scan. You want to sort of scan the area. Uh-huh. Make sure you don't head in the wrong direction.
Yeah, sure. Try to find the best direction.
Sure.
Yeah, not so many Imperials, not so many asteroids.
Fair enough. If someone wants to give me a study or even a helm. We could talk that as a sort of a subset of helm.
A navigation type activity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mentioned it, so I'll do a little bit of study to help him out.
Okay. So you're spending a stress to get it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You can get another one.
John, roll another die and see how this goes.
And do better than the 4.
Yes. How do I roll just a die?
Just click on the...
You can type also /R space 1d6.
Oh, okay. There we go. In the public.
Yeah.
We go. Another four. 442. I believe those are results.
You're able to scan the area a little bit and find that there is a better way to get out of here that doesn't get you into so many asteroids, but you're not seeing any kind of sign of any kind of Imperial ships.
Mm. Well, that's exactly what we want. No sign of Imperial ships, fewer asteroids. Perfect.
But we don't see them anywhere.
There's no way this can go wrong.
I got just the path for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think they're hiding behind a big asteroid.
I think I scared them off. They're afraid to see me fly again.
I guess right.
All right. What it is. I think we should man the turrets anyway.
I mean,
and go stealthy.
So you all pile back into the Intrepid, crate of grenades. It's tucked in the smuggler's compartment, and or possibly a raid on Duncan's workbench where he's measuring them. And
engage cloaking device.
Engage the cloaking device and kind of blast off. You take this path through the asteroids, and you get sort of clear of the asteroid field. It looks pretty wide open here. And you're about to sort of engage the hyperspace drive to head on off when there is a sort of a unfortunate kind of clicking and whining.
Do I have to get out and push?
It's not going.
I start punching on the control panel.
Duncan!
I'll go take a look.
You go to the hyperspace drive, basically back in the engines of the ship.
Right.
And you spot that there's basically like a almost similar to what the grenades that you had, a kind of like a dampening field attached to your hyperspace drive. Someone would have had to have gotten onto your ship at some point to install this.
Those scientists.
And it looks like, you know, just from the look of it, it looks kind of like a imperial make of some kind, right?
Okay.
And then from, you know, sort of up on the bridge, it's going to take some time to sort of like, you know, you can rip it off, and but it's going to take some time to sort of spool the hyperspace drive up into working order. Up on the bridge, you can see that from behind sort of one of these larger nearby planets comes a, let's say, small Star Destroyer. Not a big one, just a little baby one.
Just a little one. Comes Asteroid hoving, Destroyer.
Comes hoving into view. And that's where we'll end this particular episode.
Oh.